Well, joining us for his weekly chat, it is Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning.
How are you?
Well, we didn't get to bed till 1:45 this morning, so I'm buzzing.
Burning the candle at both ends. lots to talk about as ever, KB. Let's start with Leeds United and these rumours that I've seen quite a bit about over the last week or so across the web. The claim the Genting Group are interested in buying Leeds United. Does make me seem how accurate these rumours are. What is your knowledge of the Genting Group? And
have they made any statement?
I
haven't seen anything in the papers I've been reading.
No, there's been no statement, but there's been a lot of rumours flying around about it online.
Yeah, well, you know, it depends who put them on. But anyway, a bit about it, which is interesting, is that the Genting, however you pronounce it, group, owner called Stanley Leisure. And Stanley Leisure bought from Leeds the right to acquire the old BRS land behind the North Stand. I think they paid $4.5 million for it. But they didn't proceed because I think they were taken over by Genting, etc., etc. That was a useful contribution to Leeds United, which enabled the Yorkshire Consortium to pay off the debts borrowed from Jack Petchy, and of course released the members of the consortium who'd given personal guarantees, got them off their personal guarantees, and left the club de-geared, but of course with no assets, because they also sold the ground and the training ground. But moving on, we got, as you know, there's a super casino to be awarded in Leeds still, and we got talking to, had discussions with Stanley Leisure about helping them, or working with them, to do a joint bid for the super casino on the side of the West Stand. And we drew up detailed drawings, I mean almost working drawings, which would enable them to build a casino on, say, the first floor, I think it was the first floor of a new West Stand, which would increase our capacity by another 6,000 or 7,000. But it would also give us most magnificent facilities, which would equal the East End. That would really, really give them Leeds one of the greatest grounds in the country then. But it sort of petered out, I think, and nothing ever came of it, but the drawings are still there. So we have a link with Genting's, if you like, via Stanley Leisure. They are a very big conglomerate, but at the moment I don't think there's been any official statement from them, and I don't think there's been any discussions yet. But I like it when people do business and then announce it, rather than talk about doing it and then don't do it, as in my 8 years at Leeds I saw so many times. I think the phrase is all mouth and no trousers, but these people are serious, and of course there is a large number of Asian groups now getting involved in English football. So if they're the right people for the right reasons, then fans, I think, should be positive about it. But on the other hand, don't build your hopes up until proper announcements made. Well done, lads, for last night. 3 points. I see in the paper this morning it's described as smash and grab raid. And another fine display by the goalkeeper. But the good thing is we got 3 goals from the top half, back in the top half.
Yes, doing very, very well at the moment. Still no contract offer for Neil Redfern, though.
Well, I think the problem there you've got, you don't know, nobody knows what the hell is going on at Leeds at the moment. And it's in a bit of turmoil because, to be fair, I think Massimo Cicillino is trying to make up his mind what he wants to do and how he's going to do it best, obviously for him and for Leeds United. So that, particularly if the Genting thing is true, because they may wish to bring in their own man or confirm Neil Redfern. I bet you think he's done a bloody good job under very difficult circumstances. I think he should be given the opportunity, but again, that's no longer my call. certainly I think that if he didn't get the job permanently here, he wouldn't be short of people who would like his services elsewhere. But that would be a pity if he left, because before he became the coach or manager, call it what you like, he did a marvellous job at Thorpe Arch, which we're now beginning to see the benefits of, all the hard work put in there with these kids coming through. And of course, with that, congratulations to Lewis Cook, who's now been called up for the England under-19s, having been already played for the under-16, under-18s. And he's a jewel in the crown, and he'll be given an extended contract as soon as possible.
A future looking rosy on the field at the moment, some good performances. Just off the field as well, I wonder if you had an update on the latest with David Haig. It's getting towards the year mark now, isn't it?
Yes, well, it's the 9th of April, when the case... David Haig is now fighting back. in fact, while I've been in the UK, I've got an update from somebody very close to the situation. And I think now that Mr. Hisham, Mr. Patel, thought it was so easy when they started doing their disgraceful acts, now begin to realise it's life isn't all one way. And they're being hit back now by... David's got a very good firm of lawyers, and he's got a very good QC. And he's now suing those two guys personally, as well as GFH. And, of course, Peter Gray, I think his name is, the Gibson Dunn Rocha firm that used to act for GFH. Gray is the Dubai partner, and he's had to make a grovelling apology to the English High Court for basically making false statements under oath, which is very serious. And I understand, but I can't confirm it, that he's been reported to the... Law Society, or whatever they're called these days, for possible considered disciplinary action, misappropriate conduct. But that's just the story going around at the moment. We'll see what happens, how that develops. But meanwhile, on the 9th of next month, 9th of April, there's a case being heard in the Westminster Magistrates Court, which is a bit more of an ordinary magistrates court, if you know what I mean, in which David Hay is applying for arrest warrants against Hisham and Patel, and they've already been served with the notices to appeal in court. They tried to avoid them by switching off their emails and blocking contact, but I guess they got around that and served them. And so if they don't turn up, then David Hay will be applying for an extradition warrant, have them extradited forcibly to the UK. And of course, if they don't, then they plan to issue them to Interpol. So at the moment they're shacked up in hiding in Bahrain, and but if they go outside, presume if Bahrain doesn't honour the extradition agreement they have with Britain, because if they don't, there could be further repercussions. If they go outside Bahrain, then anybody who's a member of the Interpol organisation, which is worldwide, not just Europe, they'll likely get their collars felt and brought back against their will to the UK to face the music. And it's about time, too, because then all the facts about the GFH takeover, their subsequent behaviour and their treatment and creating a mess that they let in, that they did at Leeds United and Elland Road, and the subsequent problems that Mr. Chelino has had trying to sort them out. So we're rooting. David Haig is now giving information to the public prosecutor in Dubai to print the other side of the story, because so far it's all been one way. But I think that GFH are not quite as cocky as they were a little while ago. And of course it's affecting their creditworthiness, the ability to do deals, and the ability to attract deposits, because they have, at the moment, a very poor reputation, and deservedly so.
Let's look at some of the other news that's making the headlines. And, of course, Man City failing last night against Barcelona, which was are obviously going to happen after the first leg. But all the English teams now out of the Champions League, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester City. Just wondering, really, your thoughts on what's wrong with the English game at the moment in Europe. The Premier League is seen as this this massive league. It's the richest league in the world. But in Europe, it doesn't seem to be getting the success.
Well, I mean, it's obviously one of those things that you debate forever. But what concerns me is that is all the top clubs, most of the top clubs in the Premiership are foreign owned. Now that's okay if they're owned by foreigners who have the club's interests at heart and also take a long term view. But unfortunately, some of them just seem to think that throwing money at the game is the answer to all the problems, and of course it isn't. Manchester City is a prime example, of course. They've had more money spent. They spent, I think, more money than Abramovich has at Chelsea. And yet they're having a dismal season on all fronts. Which, and the manager, in these few interviews, doesn't really give any great confidence. Arsenal, well, they're there every year. It's almost as get the top 16 and the last 16 and then somehow fade out. But Wenger's done a good job at Arsenal. I didn't like him when he came. In fact, I used to have a nickname for him, which I'll not repeat on air. But over the years, I've come to respect him. And he's been backed loyally by the American that controls Arsenal, and left him to get on with it, which is good. Chelsea, they're walking away with the Premiership at the moment. But I don't know. They don't have any. John Terry is the only Englishman left. And unfortunately, of course, the way that they bully the referees and keep complaining, they're getting a bad reputation, which is unfortunate because they've been successful. But now their tactics are getting on people's nerves. And I don't know. I don't think, when you say take Chelsea, they spent a fortune on youth and signing up all the young kids, but they never get a game. So there's something wrong somewhere with English football, and I think it's, well, the top part, isn't it? And I think it's short-termism.
Well, another thing that's been hitting the headlines is the way players have been surrounding referees of late, and quite a lot of the top clubs have been abusing this definitely. The FA have sent a letter to all clubs regarding players surrounding referees to every single league club. Saying this should stop, and it shouldn't be filtering down into the youth game. That people might look at this and then try and sort of copy it on the Sunday league pitches and in the kids' games.
They shouldn't have sent a letter. Well, sent a letter to the club, but they should have sent another one to the referees. And the way to solve this problem is very simple. You don't get any dissent in rugby; it's just not allowed. And it should be simple. The referee. What I would do if I was a referee, I'd go into the next game I had, I'd go to both dressing rooms, say, gentlemen, if you have any concerns about any of my decisions, the captain may approach me, make a point, short, very shortly and very simply. But if you don't, and then you must accept my decision. If you don't, I'll give you a yellow card. And if the captain doesn't behave himself and can't control his players, he'll probably get two yellow cards. So I think after about 2 weeks of clubs, certain teams playing with nine men, I think you'll find that the protests against referees would disappear overnight. And if you have managers that try to intimidate the officials, give them a red card and send them to the stand. And then the FA, what the FA should then do is ban the manager from suspending from the game for a month, 4 weeks. And the other thing that should be introduced is that players who get suspended for disciplinary reasons, their salary should be paid, should be not paid to them, they should be paid either into the FA Youth Trust, or better still, giving it to Help for Heroes. the charity. They weren't missing anyway, but most of them earned too much. And the money would do our servicemen a lot of good, many of whom were struggling to readjust back to normal life after coming back from Afghanistan. But the only way to do it is sending letters, action, deeds, action. And I think, as I say, you would find it within a month, there wouldn't be any more dissent. I mean, get on with the game, which is how it should be.
We talk about action, KB, and there is some action up for grabs to people on via Radio Yorkshire, because the Monaco Grand Prix competition is now live, where people can win tickets to the weekend, the qualifying and the Grand Prix.
Very good positions opposite the finishing line, and if you turn look the other way from where you're sitting, you can see the start as well. It's a great situation. Ideal for a lovely weekend in Monaco in the south of France. Or it could be part of an extended holiday. That's why we're just doing the tickets, leaving people to make their own travel and accommodation arrangements. Some may wish to come down in their camper vans. Some may wish to make the Monaco Grand Prix as part of a week or 10-day holiday in the south of France and Italy. It's a lovely area to come for holiday. Believe me, I'm there all the time on holiday. And it's worth competing. The tickets cost over €1,000, and you can have a chance of winning them. Two tickets for the semi-final on Saturday, two tickets for the final on Sunday, by just taking part in a simple competition of which you are now going to give the details.
Yep. The question to win the two tickets to the Monaco Grand Prix is this: who is the reigning Formula One world champion? It's quite an easy one. Is it A, Jenson Button, B, Lewis Hamilton, C, Sebastian Vettel? All you need to do is text DAB to 84383, followed by A, B or C, to indicate your answer to the question. Text costs £1 plus one standard message rate. And for full T's and C's, visit radioyorkshire.co.uk. And that's second competition we've got, because, of course, the VIP box is still available. This time we're looking towards the Leeds United Blackburn game, KB.
Yes, well, it's getting very popular now. Once seen it, people want to come back for more. It's a great day out for somebody who, for the ordinary fan, to be treated like a VIP, with the usual sit in the fourth floor executive box, meals and drinks included, and you can get there early, watch the early game on the big screen in the box, and you can watch the late game on the big screen after the game. So it's a real great day out, and you're going to give detail of that competition, aren't you?
I am indeed. Which of the following players have played professionally for Leeds United, Blackburn Rovers and Newcastle United? Is it A, Gary Kelly? Is it B, David Batty? Or is it C, Eric Cantona? Now, if you want to win a VIP ticket to the Leeds United versus Blackburn game, your chance to win, text Yorks to 84383, followed by either A, B or C. And then text cost £1 plus one standard message, full T's and C's, as I said before. Visit radioyorkshire.co.uk, and we'll look forward to hopefully seeing you at the Leeds United Blackburn game.
If people missed that information, it's also on the website, isn't it?
It is. All the details, all the T's and C's, all the quiz details on radioyorkshire.co.uk.
In closing, though, let's do another good thing for fans to know. Congratulations to Ian English, member Ludo, who was made Skybet Fan of the Month for February. Ian has got cerebral palsy, in a wheelchair. He's only got the use of one hand. Despite that, he hasn't missed a game home or away for years. He was down at Fulham last night watching the game. He went by train. He's always at full parch. He's Leeds United through and through. So congratulations, Ian. We're delighted for you. You're a very brave man. And hope there's some way of helping you out. OK?
Thank you very much, KB. You have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Cheers. Bye.